It's my pleasure to share with you from the Word of God. The Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter, we'll be looking at verses 39 through 46. May the people of God be blessed in this reading and hearing of God's holy word as we read from the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 39 through 46. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks. We do continue today in our series on the objects of his passion, thinking about those experiences and objects which Jesus encountered during his last days walking on this earth. And for those of you that may have missed any of the series thus far, just very, very briefly, the first Sunday we looked at the story of the expensive perfume which Mary, a repentant sinner, shared upon and anointed the head of Christ before his burial. And then we looked at the basin and the towel, how Jesus modeled for us the wonderful attribute of discipleship, that of being called into servanthood, understanding that the greatest of these in the kingdom is those who will serve. Last week we looked at the unfortunate story and reminder to us of what happens in our faith if we compromise our priorities. We also tend to compromise our loyalties to Christ as we suffer temptation. But today we go to the mountains. We look at the Mount of Olives, truly Christ's sanctuary. When Tony and I married, one of the first things that we did was go to the Buffalo River year after year. And part of that draw was not only the river and the canoeing experience, but also just the majestic mountains and the bluffs. I mean, I came from South Arkansas. All I knew was rolling hills. But Tony's father, being a United Methodist pastor for so many years, they lived all over the state, but he especially enjoyed that time when they lived in the mountains of Arkansas. Mount of Olives was a long mountain range located just to the east of Jerusalem and its temple. A 2,900-foot ridge located to the east of Jerusalem. It was a mountain of really three peaks. Indeed, on one of those peaks, Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount. To get there, Jesus and the disciples had to cross the Kidron Valley to the east, walking about a couple of miles. It was named as such for the beautiful olive groves that grew on the slopes of the mountains. At 820 meters, it is Jerusalem's highest peak, lending a gorgeous vista view of the holy city. Now, I invite you to look at the outline because I'm going to follow it pretty closely and give some references to the Mount of Olives. Jesus was endeared to this scenic location, not only for its panoramic view, but because it was so grounded in Jesus' Jewish heritage and indeed biblical history. So as you look at the outline and hear me share with you, let's recall some of the times when the Mount of Olives was so important in the biblical saga of faith. King David fled over the Mount of Olives to escape his own son, Absalom, who was in rebellion. We find that recording in 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. We also find that King Solomon turned away from God and created pagan temples because he had married foreign wives and they worshipped idols. And this was located where he built these temples on the Mount of Olives. Ezekiel had a vision of the glory of the Lord and the flying cherubim ascending on the city of Jerusalem and stopping on the Mount of Olives. If you turn over to the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, the prophet prophesied people gathering olive branches for the Feast of Tabernacles after the return from being in captivity in Babylonia. And then that remnant came back to Jerusalem. Zechariah prophesied in the 14th chapter of his book the final victory of the forces of good over evil, and the Lord of hosts would stand on the Mount of Olives and it would rip into east to west. So Jesus knew these things in what was his Bible. But how important the Mount of Olives would then become to him this last week of his life on earth. In John, the 18th chapter, verses 1 and 2, hear the scripture. Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place of the Mount of Olives because Jesus had often met there with the disciples. And Jesus often frequented the Mount of Olives. It was only a 40-minute walk away from Bethany, the town nearest the Mount, which we often understood that he visited Mary, Martha, and Lazarus living there. But it was on this mountain that he would yearn to go and to pray and to rest and to meditate. It truly was his sanctuary. And then he went down the mount on this triumphal entry into Jerusalem on what we know as Palm Sunday, weeping over the city's future, its destruction. Hear this quote from Luke 19. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus said this marvelous thing: "I tell you, if they keep quiet, why, even the rocks will cry out." And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. He wept over it. This city which had rejected this king, this Messiah. This city that he wept over because he knew the suffering of the Jews to come and the destruction of that beloved city that would come. In a major address to his disciples on the Mount, Jesus also found this as the place to foretell of his second coming. I quote from Matthew 24. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us, when will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will claim, 'I am the Christ.' Nation will rise against nation, and there will be famines and earthquakes. You will be handed over to the persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And we know too that it was the Mount of Olives where Jesus took his disciples to pray with him before he was arrested. Hear this in Matthew 26. Following the supper, they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives to a place called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now, the Garden of Gethsemane sits just opposite the temple and Jerusalem. Since the time of the Old Testament, the site of Solomon's temple was considered to be right there at that site where Abraham took his son Isaac to be sacrificed. But then we know the story. God supplied a ram and spared Isaac, Abraham's son. Now, if you think about that, how difficult it must have been for Jesus to know that story and to know that sight and to realize that, you see, he was the ram in the bushes. He was the sacrifice so that the offspring of Abraham could be saved. It's no wonder he prayed, as the scriptures tell us, to the point where sweat was as if drops of blood upon his forehead. But God in his mercy, you see, sent the angels to strengthen him there as he prayed on his beloved Mount of Olives. As sorrow filled the heart of Christ and his spirit was greatly troubled, he asked the disciples to keep watch and pray. He prayed and returned to his disciples not once, not twice, but three different times, and found his disciples not keeping watch, not praying, but sleeping. The third time, while he was yet speaking to them, can you not stay awake and pray with me and keep vigilance? As he was saying those words, his betrayer came, Judas, betrayed him with that kiss. And Jesus said these words, friend, do what you've come to do. Three times. As you study the Bible, you find that the number three has significant meaning. Three means to complete. For example, 3 days, Jonah was in the whale's belly till it spewed Jonah out, and he completed, through his repentance, the mission of God to go to Nineveh. 3 times, Peter denied Christ. 3 times, he was restored to forgiveness. Jesus commanded in that restoration and forgiveness of Peter, won't you feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. 3 times Jesus went to pray, completing that third prayer with that submission to God for his will to be done and not his own. 3 times he found the disciples sleeping, just as 3 days Christ would be asleep in the tomb and rise on the third day. Jesus' total submission to the cross, Jesus was led away in an arrest, a sentencing, and trial. So again, I just pose to you the Mount of Olives. Why is it so important? Why was it so important to Jesus? Well, as I mentioned earlier, it was so rich in historical Jewish heritage and biblical history. But more than that, it was a safe haven for Jesus to be drawn to be strengthened for that which he faced. Think about the days, the ordinary day in Jesus' life. The teaching, the preaching, the healing, the dealing with the pressures of the religious hierarchy who were so paranoid, so extremely threatened. Jesus needed that quiet place, dealing with all of that, just to recoup and regroup. He needed that place in which to be strengthened before facing the cross, that beautiful garden of prayer, that hymn that we sing. Truly did contain a wonderful place, Gethsemane, Think of how that restored Christ for what he faced. The wind breeze through the olive trees. How that must have sounded like a lullaby. The peak of the mountain, the nearest place to heaven itself. The view of the city, majestic yet saddening. As he could just look down from that vista and see all the corruption happening before his very eyes. And yet, the Mount of Olives was the sanctuary that Jesus needed and longed for to restore his spirit. And secondly, the Mount of Olives gave Jesus a place in which to model for the disciples the importance of prayer. It had been a long day every day for Christ. With the disciples was a long day filled with the unpredictable. Never knowing when someone would need him, when human despair would face him in the eye. This day had held their last supper together, full of meaning and emotion. So Jesus went to the only source that he knew to help him with whatever he faced, and that was the source of prayer. He showed the disciples his need for prayer. He pleaded with them to do the same, to hold vigilance and to pray. But in their human need of needing to restore their body from its weariness, from its sorrow, they did the easiest thing that the body can do to replenish itself. They slept. But Jesus had asked them to use any remaining energy to pray, knowing that prayer restores the spirit, that their spirit was going to need to be strengthened as they saw their loved one, their master, their rabbi, their leader, crucified and bleeding on a cross. They needed their spirit strengthened. They had neglected an important part of who they were. Your spirit. Jesus knew prayer is simply your heart seeking after God. It's the most genuine indication that you can give God of your commitment to your relationship to God. Sometimes we're hesitant to pray because we feel like we may pray wrongly, but when we pray from the heart, we never pray wrongly. No matter if you stumble in prayer, no matter if you're a loss for eloquent words, it matters not. When you come to God in prayer because you seek to strengthen your relationship with God, every prayer is holy. In fact, a prayer prayed like that, no greater saint of the church has ever prayed. When you come with that attitude, your prayer is heard with love. The Mount of Olives teaches us when we meet God on the mountain, God wants to communicate with us. When it seems life hits you with both barrels, just ask yourself this: what is your immediate response? Do you panic or do you pray? The results of each are as different as night and day, my friends. Our human instinct may be to panic, but our faith cautions and urges us to pray. Without a strong prayer life, your communication to God's like a bad cell phone connection. You miss half of what God's trying to tell you, and the other half, you're likely not to understand it. And the final thing, where is your sanctuary of peace? It's so important to establish that. When I was a child and troubled by something, I would escape to the nearby woods and just walk and think with each step. For I might be found to go and sit on the little wooden bridge across the nearby creek, probably swinging my legs like a kid will do, just listening to the soothing sound of the water going over the rocks. I may have been found climbing the massive magnolia tree in the front yard, just thinking about God and wondering, praying. But now in my adulthood, I've shared with you before, that front porch swing is my sanctuary. As the breezes of our God hit my face and I look out into the woods, well, for me, there's no holier altar anywhere. Thanking God for His goodness, His guidance. Sacred spaces, where is yours? Where is your altar to God? It is imperative you establish that. Like Jesus, you need to find that place whenever your heart is troubled or disturbed. Don't panic. Go to your sacred space, your sanctuary, and pray. After all, you are with God. Put out that do not disturb sign. By the way, it was the Mount of Olives that Jesus was on when he ascended into heaven. Isn't that amazing? In faith, I went to see a clergywoman that had been a friend of mine and had come into the ministry just shortly after I did. She was in her last days, having fought the battle of cancer. And I went to see her in her home. I had to go see her. And we had a nice visit, had some closure, if you will, and yet open-ended. And I just said to her, I won't say goodbye. I'll simply say, I'll see you later. And she nodded and she said, see you later, Mary. Of all the places that Jesus could have been with his disciples, it was the Mount of Olives that he said, not goodbye, but I'll see you later. Where will you go, like Jesus, to find your Mount of Olives? To find your safe haven and be strengthened? To model the importance of prayer to others, as well as doing it for yourself? Where will you go to know that that place is your sanctuary, your altar to God? Where will you go to be replenished and be fortified with that feeling of sheer heaven? My prayer today is that you find that place. Hold it dear to your heart, as Christ did the Mount of Olives, and seek God and be strengthened. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.